Powerful. Kind of reminds me of the 71st Psalm, that God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in time of trouble. 46th Psalm, but also what we see in Psalm 71. I have something to tell you, dear friends, and you know it's true. Trouble will come. It will find you. Am I right? It doesn't matter how old you are or how young you are. Trouble will come. It doesn't matter how successful you are, how wealthy you are, how well educated you are. It doesn't matter how good looking you think you are. Trouble will find you. It doesn't matter if you're healthy or not. Trouble will come. Now, the truth is, we sometimes create our own trouble, don't we? We sometimes cause trouble to come. Reminds me of a story that Ella Ray loves for me to tell. And I think one reason she loves it is because I was in the third grade when this took place. And I want to tell you all about this. I was in the third grade. My teacher was Miss Summers. And we were out on the playground. It was recess. It was in the afternoon. It was a beautiful day. We were out playing on the playground. And I looked up the street where my grandmother's house was about three blocks away from the school. And I looked up toward my grandmother's house, and suddenly I saw all of this smoke, and it looked like there was a terrible fire. And I knew that my grandmother's house was on fire, and it was burning to the ground. And I ran as fast as I could to Miss Summers. Now, Miss Summers and my grandmother were two buddies. They were in cahoots with each other. I'll tell you about that in a minute. But anyway, I ran. I said, Miss Summers, Nanny's house is on fire. You can see the smoke. We have to do something. We have to do something. So Miss Summers, my third grade teacher, took me out to her car. And I'll always remember this because I remember getting in that car. And you know that episode on the Andy Griffith Show where Barney buys the car? That's a stolen car. You know that episode? Ethan, do you happen to remember what kind of car that was?
It was a 1954 Ford Custom Line sedan.
Whew, did you hear that? Say it again.
It was a 1954 Ford Custom Line sedan.
You are exactly right. You want another M&M? You can have one. The 1954 Ford Custom Line sedan. The reason I always see that, Miss Summers had exactly the same car. Every time I see Barney in that car, I can think about Miss Summers. Now, she was a little lady. When we got in the car, she had a pillow that she would sit on. And do you know how those old steering wheels were? I mean, they were huge. I mean, it was bigger than Miss Summers. And she got in there. She could barely look over the wheel. I didn't think we were going to make it the three blocks. And we puttered up the street, and I was right there beside her. I was so scared because I just knew my grandmother's house was burning to the ground. And we got up about a block from the house on Main Street. And the police department had Main Street blocked off. And I remember seeing fire hoses all over the street, and I could still see the smoke. And Miss Summers rolled down her window. Now, you know, back in the old days, you didn't have power windows. She rolled down the window, and the policeman stuck his head in the window, and he said, "You're going to have to go another way." I never will forget. She looked at the policeman, and she pointed to me and said, "The little boy here." Now, I was her star pupil, and she called me the little boy here. She said, "The little boy here is concerned that his grandmother's house is on fire, Miss Cheryl's house." And this is what the policeman said. Now, it's like I didn't exist. He didn't talk to me. He said, "Tell the little boy that his grandmother's house is fine. It's the shed behind the house. And you might want to also tell him that his little brother is in big trouble." That was my brother Robert. He was out there with matches. And my grandmother had the most wonderful building behind the house. They used to be in the wholesale warehouse business, or wholesale grocery business. And they had all of these things from the 1920s and the 1930s. Just a treasure trove of all sorts of items that would go well on one of these TV shows, you see, you know, when people go off and find all this antique stuff. And my little brother got out there with the matches, and that was the end of that story. Poor Robert, he would not only get himself in trouble, but he would get me in trouble and everybody else in trouble. And bless his heart, he's not here to defend himself. So I shouldn't say any more about Robert, but sometimes we create our own trouble. Sometimes trouble just comes. When I was a teenager, I was really involved in the youth group in my church. We had a guy whose name was Larry. Larry was the head of our youth group, not officially. He just was a natural leader. Larry was one of these guys that anything he told us to do, we would do. He was the spark plug. He was the motivator. He was the lifeblood. He just made things happen. And Larry was such a great leader. I'll tell you this story. Our church owned a rental house. And there was this old couple that lived in the rental house. And the church decided they were not charging enough rent. So they were going to go up on the rent. We found out that if they went up on the rent, the old couple was going to have to move out because they couldn't afford it. And we didn't think that was right. Larry had all the youth to go to a business meeting. You want to shock a church? Show up at the business meeting. Nobody knew what was going on. And Larry stood up. And he said he didn't think this was the right thing to do, that the couple was going to have to move out. And Mr. Broom got up there and, "Well, you know, we've done an analysis of this and all the other houses. We're not charging enough rent." And Larry listened to all that and then he said, "What would Jesus do?" You know, hardly anybody voted to raise the rent. And that couple lived there until they died. Also, the other thing Larry was going to do, you know, back in those days, almost everybody smoked, all the adults. And we had a group of men that would stand out front and they would smoke before church. And Larry said, "I'm just going to go up there one day and pull out a cigarette and smoke with them and see what they say about that." He never did that, but that was Larry. So I remember one Wednesday night, we got to church, and we were out playing softball. I remember exactly where I was when our youth leader, one of our volunteer leaders, came out, and he gathered all of us together, and he said, "Larry was in an automobile accident, and he didn't survive." Larry had only had his license a week, and he was killed in a car wreck. Sometimes we create trouble. Sometimes trouble comes. The question is not, will trouble come? The question is, when it does, what will we do? And we find the answer in the 71st Psalm. In the 71st Psalm, it tells us that when trouble comes, that God is our refuge, that He is our shelter, that He is our rock. He is the one we can depend on. But here's my question. How do you know that? I mean, we know it, but how do we really know it? Especially when you're young. How do you know that you can depend on God to get you through those terrible, tragic times of life? I think we find an answer in the 71st Psalm. Because I don't know if you noticed this in Sunday school, but do you notice that in the 71st Psalm it talks about old people? Did y'all pick up on that? And it also talks about young people. It says, do not cast me off in my time of old age. You notice they don't sugarcoat this. They don't say senior adults. They don't say junior seniors. Now, you all know you're at least senior adults by now. They don't say you're in the joy club. You know what that is? Just older youth. No, they say you're old. How do you know you're old? Well, look down at verse 19. No, it's in verse 18. I can't even see the verse. It says, even to old age and gray hair. 25 years ago, in February, I wrote a newspaper column titled, Laudy, Laudy, Look Who's 40. Chad, you remember that? I bet you have it framed in your office. That was 25 years ago. You do the math. Hey, a whole lot of us here are old. A lot of us here are young. What this passage is saying to us is we need each other. We need our older people to share with our younger people about God being our refuge and our strength. We need our younger people to be with our older people to remind them of the excitement and the joy of that commitment. I'm going to invite Charlotte Powell to come up. And Charlotte, I want you to bring your Gaga with you, your grandmother. Charlotte and Carol Jean are going to come up now, and they're going to read for us a paraphrase of the 71st Psalm. And I want you to notice the contrast between, now you will be the young one, right? Okay. Between young and older.
In you, O Lord, do I live.
In you, O Lord, I grow.
You are our God, our rock, and our refuge.
You are my rock, like a rock to dive off into the river.
You are my rock, like a home well fenced and protected.
Hear us when we call, O God, lift us into your arms.
All my life long, you have been with me.
When I was born and took my first breath, you held me.
All through the years, I have leaned on you.
Through all the years ahead, I will lean on you.
When I was young, you taught me.
When I grow old, you will bless me.
I remember all you have done for me.
I will tell everyone how great you are.
It hasn't always been easy. People have attacked me.
It isn't always easy. Some problems seem really big.
But I hope continually. I trust and keep on trusting.
I sing and keep on singing.
My lips will shout for joy, my soul also, for you have rescued me.
I will play the piano to praise you.
I will put your love into words for anyone who will listen.
Your power and glory reaches from high above to deep below.
Your saving grace reaches from before we were born to our very last breath and beyond.
Holy One, wonderful God, we praise you.
Holy One, Marvelous Lord, we praise you.
Thank you all. That was beautiful, by the way. Did you hear the contrast? You see, grandchildren need their grandmothers. They need their gagas and nannies and g-mommies and grandmommies and grandmothers, and grandparents need their grandchildren. We need each other. The church is a family. And those of us in the church that are older, we need these young people. And these young people need us. They need us to tell stories. We need them to dream dreams. Older people need to share their wisdom. Young people need to share their wonder. Older people need to share their experience. Young people need to share their excitement. Old people need to give counsel. Young people need to interject creativity. Old people need to speak with clarity. Young people need to speak with conviction. Old people need to make declarations. Young people need to rejoice with delight. From older people, we need to know about the journey. From young people, we need to witness their joy. Old people need to give testimony. Young people need to give testimony. You see, my grandmother was my rock. She was the one that I could turn to. She was the one beyond my parent. Most mothers and fathers are busy being mothers and fathers. Every young person needs a grandparent or someone like a grandparent who can speak to them from their wisdom and experience and not judge them, not condemn them, not lecture them, but listen to them and to share from their lifelong experience. I look back at all the things my grandmother did for me. You see, in the third grade, I told you that Miss Summers and my grandmother were in cahoots. I always thought it was a little interesting that here we are, now it's February, so about this time of year, all of the children would receive an assignment to go home and write a one-page paper on Abraham Lincoln. And then she would pull me off to the side and, "Ray, you're going to make a speech on Abraham Lincoln." Okay? And then the next week, everybody else would write a paper on George Washington. "Ray, you're going to do a speech on George Washington." And I guess I wasn't too smart, because I'd go to my grandmother's house and I'd say, "Nanny, I have to give a speech on Abraham Lincoln." "Oh, just happened to be working on one here. Here's some things we could pull together." Somehow, my grandmother thought that it might be good for me to get some experience being a public speaker, and maybe one day that might take. Let me share one more story with you. When I was in college, you've heard me talk about my car, the old 1962 Bel Air Chevrolet, the one that had holes in the floorboard, the one that was always break down, the one that one youth event put 29 young people into that one car. I'm not sure we ever got them all out, but we counted them going in. Well, that car would just constantly break down. It was not dependable. And it was the end of the Christmas break, and it was time to go back to school. And my car broke down the day before I was supposed to go back. And I didn't know what I was going to do. I thought, well, I can get a ride to school, but I won't have a car, and I need to go to L.A., Lower Alabama, you know, because I was working at a church and I didn't have any transportation. My grandmother told me, said, "Don't worry about it." She said, "I'm not going to need my car for the next 2 weeks." Looking back on that, I'm thinking, she drove every single day. But she said, "I'm not going to need my car, so you take my car." So I walked over to her house the night before I was going to leave. And I remember it was a cold January night, which in Alabama means it's about 30 degrees. So I walk over, and we always went in the back door. And when I went up on the back porch, you could look through the kitchen and the dining room into the living area where she always sat. And there was a window in the door, so before I walked in, I could see her. And she was sitting in the living room in front of a little space heater. And she was huddled up with I don't remember if it was a shawl or maybe even a quilt wrapped around her. And I just looked at her. And then it dawned on me. My grandmother didn't want to turn the heat up in the house because she was afraid that maybe one day I might need that money for my education. Now, my grandmother was not wealthy, but she could have afforded to turned up the heat. I mean, my grandmother traveled the world. She had resources. But she also grew up in the Depression. And so she was going to save in case I needed that. And that was the first time it really hit me that she was making a tremendous sacrifice for me. And I don't get very emotional, but I did that night. And all I could do was tell her how much I loved her. Because she was my rock. And she was the one that when trouble came, I could always depend on her because she had been there and she could tell me that God would be my shelter in times of storm. She kept pushing me and pushing me. She said, now, when you finish college, you're going to seminary, and when you finish seminary, you're going to get your doctor's degree. And when I got out of seminary, I didn't want to go to school anymore. But my grandmother said, yes, you are. The day that I graduated, I called her up. She told me how proud she was, and it was the last time I ever talked to her. You have grandparents. You have people who are your rock. And for all of us older people here, we need to surround these young people, and we need to be an extended grandparent family for all of them. In times of trouble, we have a shelter. We have a refuge, and His name is Jesus. On Christ, the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand.